Our Father, I thank you for the beauty, the excellency, the perfection of Jesus. And you've said, this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his Son as a propitiation for our sins. We thank you we have the sacrifice for sins that turns away the wrath of God. And we put our faith in you and we thank you we receive grace and we are saved. Help us, O God. And I pray that today the Holy Spirit would work amongst us, touch every heart, the thought of every mind, bring understanding, O God. Bring revelation, bring insight. I ask, Father, I pray for every person here today, the young and the old alike, the devoted and the distracted alike, that you'd reveal yourself, O Lord. Such a great salvation. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. This verse from Holy Scripture, just listen carefully. Paul wrote to Timothy, listen carefully to what he said. Here is a trustworthy saying. And now he quotes the saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. I received an email. We used to be able to say, I received a letter. A couple of days ago, I received an email from someone in the church, a sister, which I'm going to read anonymously. We need to let her testimony, her experience, speak for itself. And I had preparation underway for a message today. But I didn't finish it, I put it aside. And I'm not preaching that message, and I might not even be preaching at all. If I do, it will be something brief. And then I'm going to ask Tony to come. But I'm going to read this testimony. And I'd like you all to listen to it. Just put aside everything else you're doing. And just take in what this sister, she's talking about herself, not anything else, but listen to what she said. Hi, John. I really feel I should let you know what's been going on with me. I have finally come into a breakthrough that I've wanted for years, but wasn't willing to pay the price for. But thankfully, finally I did, and am now making good progress. I've always said in my heart that I wanted to be closer to the Lord, but still I didn't place him in top position in my life. I think I just finally came to the end of myself and didn't want to waste any more time and drew a line in the sand. My initial hurdle to overcome, as much as I dislike to admit it, was television. I was careful with what I watched, but in the evening I would think that, after the day, I should have some rest and relaxation. The Lord challenged me about it time and time again. But I just didn't seem to be able to do anything about it. In fact, it was such a pull, and I thought I would miss it so much, and that spending time with the Lord would be really hard work. I finally became so sick of myself, I took the plunge and have cut out all TV and instead choose to spend the evening with Him in worship, prayer, listening, and reading. I really can't believe how wonderful it has been and how faithful He has been. I have been humbling myself before the Lord and asking Him to show me my heart, and it has not been a particularly pretty sight. However, I am repenting as He brings the sins up, and I'm finding sweet release. One of the biggest things I've come to understand was I was in idolatry, with my idol being me. What I wanted, what I should get, how I should be treated, but an ugly character issue nevertheless. I'm so thankful for the Lord's patience with me. I know I'm cleansed, but I also know I need to be guarding my heart from falling back into the same behaviours because they've been there for so long. Anyway, I don't really want to focus on the negative side of this, but rather how I'm hungering after the Lord and really wanting to press into Him more and more. I know He's just waiting for us to come to Him, to lavish His love on us, to fill us, and for us to carry His presence wherever we go. The Scriptures have come alive to me again, and during this time, I have read several books that have been so helpful to me. The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, and Hunger for God by John Piper have both been wonderful. The first night I did this, I heard the word necrosis. Necrosis is the death of body tissue. It occurs when too little blood flows to the tissue. I said to you last year that I felt dead inside. You prayed for me, and I had some good breakthrough. But the yielding was what I needed to do. When I received the word necrosis, I didn't think it was just for me, but for us as a people. But I will leave that with you. Just wanted to let you know. What do you think, friends, is amongst our biggest problem as a people and is a risk to God's people anywhere? What do you think is amongst our biggest risk? You're supposed to identify your risks and your weaknesses and deal with them. A great risk is always, especially for Australians and Westerners generally, is just taking it all for granted. You know, it doesn't seem like anything because you don't see it coming. You're just living your life. But what happens is ordinary Christians, just like you and me, after we've been Christians a good while and you've sorted out a bunch of issues and you're living reasonably comfortably and happily, you know, your house is pretty good and your family's pretty good and you're pretty good and your health is pretty good and you don't have any great needs especially, what happens is you've known for a good while, or believed at least for a good while, your sins were forgiven and you're not burdened by sin anymore. And you believe God's in place, Jesus is in place, salvation's in place, the church is in place, you're in place. And what happens is you lose the edge and you actually slip back to a place where faith is not active. You still believe you're saved and you believe your sins are forgiven and you believe you're a Christian, but your faith is not actually active. And if that goes too far, you become dead on the inside and don't know it. You've simply taken it all for granted. That's a huge danger. And admittedly, some people become weary in well-doing. That is, they put themselves so much into things, they get tired and weary. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about the bulk of people who never wear themselves out doing good. They just take life, take God for granted, take Jesus for granted, take the Word of God for granted. So it doesn't have its edge and therefore it doesn't have its power. This is a danger. It touches everybody and it's probably touched all of you to some degree, even if it's not a deadly degree. It's probably touched everyone to some degree. Now, this word necrosis, it wasn't until when I read it, it didn't hit me as clearly as when I copied it here so I could read it and broke the passage up into paragraphs, into phrases. And that's when it hit me. Let me read it to you again. She said, "I heard the word necrosis. Necrosis is the death of body tissue." Now stop there, right there. Do you see a buzzword, a key word? Do you see a Bible word there? The Bible word is body. And we are told that each one of us is a part of the body of Christ. In other words, each one of us is tissue in the body, or a member of the body, as the Bible says. So you're body tissue. And this word is death of body tissue. In other words, if you have necrosis here in your body because of lack of circulation of something, some part can die. This is true of the body of Christ. We've never preached it here especially, and I think we ought to explain it on another Sunday from the Bible, but it is not a case, no matter what you've heard, no matter what your church background, it is not a case of once saved, always saved. Some people argue that from the Bible, but you've got to explain away dozens and dozens of things the Bible has to say about people who were called but not faithful. And you are warned over and over in the Bible not to fall away. So there is such a thing as necrosis of the body, the death of body parts or body tissue. But it can also be that some people are in the body and they're still joined, you know, they're still the Lord's, because the Lord did say, a smouldering wick he won't snuff out. And I think, well, ever in the human heart, you're looking to him, you're trusting, you're wanting. No, he's not cutting you off, but there's so much within you that might simply be as good as dead. Now let's see what... I've got to read the next sentence. Listen to it. Necrosis is the death of body tissue. Here's the telling sentence. It occurs when too little blood flows to the tissue. What blood are we talking about? The blood of Jesus. Too little blood, too little of the power of Jesus' blood flows to you. How could that be if you're a Christian and you've already been saved by the blood? Friends, it was Luther, Martin Luther, who said, you've heard of the famous 95 Theses, haven't you, that he nailed to the door in Wittenberg, which, you know, is looked at as the kind of the final spark that really caused the explosion that was the Reformation. Truth is, a whole lot led up to it. But he writes out on a piece of paper 95 Theses. Do you know what a thesis is? It's a declaration of a position or a truth. And why did he write them out and nail them to the door? Don't think one nail. Think a nail in every corner, or a whole bunch of nails. You know, you're nailing up a notice. A bit like going to the pin board and you've got a big sheet of paper, you need more than one drawing pin. The idea was to nail public notices to the front door of the church. He was nailing up a public notice. What was his public notice? That he wanted to debate these truths with the leaders of the Catholic Church. He was posting his thesis for debate, but 95 of them. One of the 95 said, repentance is the daily act of every Christian believer. In other words, you and I, every day, we are supposed to humble ourselves before God, confess our need, and take a repentant position before God. Daily cleansing. This is the daily application of the blood of Jesus. Now, when you're in Christ, it's not like some wicked sinner, who's done terrible things and they're trying to find God. No, there's got to be a depth of repentance in that. No, this is your daily position. You're in Christ, but you're refreshing your heart and your faith. You're saying, Lord, today I'm dependent on you. Lord, cleanse me, forgive me my sin. It's not the first prayer you pray. It's one of the last prayers you pray in your prayer time. Now, you start by drawing near the Lord and giving worship and thanking God and then praying for his will to be done in the world. But you don't go out without the humbling of your heart and trusting, cleansing right then. You go out to face the day trusting in the blood of Jesus. This is your daily act, your daily work as a Christian. Or else you're as lost as the proverbial goose in the snowstorm. You know, you're a Christian wandering around the world and haven't got a clue what you're doing. Too little blood flowing to the tissues, and sooner or later, you're dead meat. Now, we take it to heart then. We need the blood. And we need, not only that, I mean, no wonder our sister said that even last year she said to me she felt dead inside. But here is a sister who's woken up that in the end, time with God, really bringing your heart. I mean, what did Jesus say all along? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. And he said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Just basic daily positioning. So hear the scripture I read again. Paul says, here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. This is the daily application of the blood. If we endure with him, endure means standing with him, sticking with it, not moving. No matter how we feel, no matter what comes along, we're standing in the faith. No matter what lies the devil sends, and a lot of the lies are these complacency lies. Everything's all right, you know? So you drive past people and you don't even worry about them. No, we're enduring. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Where's this reigning goes on? It starts here and now. We reign in this life, according to the scriptures. But then it says, if we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. In other words, the promises stand, the blood stands, and it's always there for you to go and draw near to the blood, to the Lord Jesus. So, dear friends, I want to finish with this comment and let Tony come. What are our greatest dangers? Hardness of heart and coldness of heart. What are the keys for being near to the Lord and finding tenderness and grace? It is humility and repentance. Just humbly, every day, drawing near to God with a repentant heart. I finish with this quote, which Isaiah the prophet wrote as being the words of God to Israel at a time when they were hard and cold and complacent and wandering, had wandered far from the Lord, and yet the Lord still said to them, and this is the word to you, he said, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. So it's enjoined upon every one of us, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. So Tony, if you'd come and take us further in our thoughts.
What I'm going to speak about is going back to your first love. I had no idea what John was saying, which is a bit of a surprise. Going back to your first love, and I'm going to start with a story. On Monday of last week, the lovely Miller family and the Ponicky family went to Blackdown Tableland. And I've been to Blackdown Tableland before. It's beautiful. Have you been there? I find it extraordinary and wonderful the first time. First time I went out there, I was gobsmacked. I just couldn't. A bit like Jamie was this time, actually. Jamie was Googling it all and just, whoa, look at that. Just totally impressed with what we saw. This time, when I got there, other than the 500 steps that you have to do to get down and back up again and the exhaustion you feel, but other than that, I wasn't overtaken by it as much as I was the first time round. Do you hear what I'm saying? It wasn't so extraordinary to me because I'd seen it before. And this was ticking over through my head, actually, as we were there. I'm thinking, start thinking differently. Start looking closer. Start taking it in again. At Mook Mook, where there's big holes in the rocks and water flowing under archways and water over, is a beautiful spot. I say all that to say this. Could we put up the scripture in Revelations, yes, Revelations chapter 2, verse 1. The angel of the Lord of the church of Ephesus writes, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not. You have found them false. You have persevered and had endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary." 4 and 5. And leave it there. "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do things as you first did." The Lord said to me this morning that it's indifference that gets a hold of our hearts. We walk with the Lord so closely, so often, and we do all sorts of things. We serve others. We do all sorts. But the Lord says that first thing when you first saw that waterfall, when you first fell in love with Jesus, how your heart opened up to him and he washed you and he cleaned you. That same thinking is that on you all the time. Our indifference towards God, and I just asked the Lord this this morning, as I was writing a couple of things out, going, and he said, you're going through the motions that say that you're in love with Jesus. You're going to church on a Sunday, saying grace over your meals, not doing anything bad or wrong as such. Maybe some. Even putting the odd prayer request before God. And he said, this finished me off. Singing the songs in worship. Singing the songs. Not worshiping, just singing. Where's the heart? Where's the passion? Where's the desire of that first love? If I went to Blackdown Treble Lands every single day, would it become same old, same old? I do that all the time. That scripture said, well, my version of that scripture says, remember the height. Remember your first love. Repent and do things as you were at first. The scripture that I read, it said, do things as you do as first work. The Lord said to me, you have to put in some effort if you want to get something out. Something about your heart being changed, washed, cleaned, passionate, over the moon about Jesus, not just singing songs, but worshiping God with everything that's in you. Everything that's in you. Not being indifferent. Half-hearted. And the Lord said, we can do that. It's in us to do. Just like that email said, you got to count the cost a little bit. A little bit of counting the cost, changing your life, changing the things you do, making the indifference go away. The Lord said these things. Worship was the number one key. Worship to find passion again. Worship from your heart. Worship in your closet. Worship here in church with everything that's inside of you. Pray. Pray, pray. Study your Bible and these couple of really interesting ones. Give. Give with such openness of heart. Openness of heart. Joy. Love, and not only giving, but the serving to others, giving of yourself to others, laying down your life for others as you lay down your life for Christ, and the passion starts to come back, the indifference starts to go away. We're meeting around the table of the Lord right now. And I just want you to bow your head right now and start to begin to think. Have I found it? Am I in that place? Am I in indifference? Am I doing all these sorts of things right? But is the Lord saying, I hold this against you? I want you to ask yourself that very question. Am I just going through the motions? Can I have the band, please? While you're thinking, can I have the band, please? We sung a song before. And in the verse it said, and if we can put it up, you just stay, bow your head down so I can read these words. Just get your heart in a place where you know it should be or could be. There is no other love. There is no other love like you, O Lord. No other sweeter. No other fountain but you. Is that how you really feel? There's so much other stuff come before Jesus. Just consider it. Just consider it. No other love. Is he your everything? Your all in all? Let me tell you what he did. By eating and drinking, remember what Jesus came for. He has died for our sins. He has risen from the dead. Our guilt is removed. Our sin is forgiven. Our condemnation and punishment have been transferred to Christ. Our acquittal is sealed. Our reconciliation with God is accomplished. Our bondage to sin is broken. Our enemy has been put aside. The sting of death is removed. The destiny of hell has been averted. Eternal life has been given. The Lord has come. Just consider in your heart how much Jesus Christ has poured out for you. There is no other love.